stop persistence as our history is real. A song will can shine like gold. Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and it's March 31st, 2023. This is episode 97. We have the former band director and the current athletic director of Woodrow Wilson High School, Mr. Andrick Pennick. Welcome, Andrew.
Hello.
Well, tell me a little bit about your early life. Your dad used to be the chorus and band teacher at OQ?
Yeah. So my dad graduated from WVU Tech. In the 70s, and he got a job as the band director. Actually, his first job was in Welch, then he got a job at Stratton Junior High, and then the next year got the Oak Hill High School band job and was band director there till I was very young, 2 or 3 years old. And he went and taught math, and then he eventually got back into the music thing at Oak Hill High School with the choir stuff. Did the church choir directing and all that, and I got into music, got into to playing music, and was in, you know, band stuff at Oak. I went to Oak Hill High School. Hope no Beckley people hold that against me.
Did your dad end up being a principal?
Yeah.
Oak Hill?
Yeah, he was a principal at Anstead Middle School, and then went to Collins Middle School and retired from there, and now he's still doing the sub stuff. So he's.
What about your mother?
My mom was a math teacher at Oak Hill. She was retired now, but she taught math at when it was Collins High School. She switched over to Oak Hill High School. She coached basketball there for a couple years, and was really into, in her early part of her career, was really into computers. And I won't date my mother. She's a wonderful lady. It was in the early ages of you know, computers being part of the curriculum. So she did a lot of computer programming, and then found her niche in teaching some lower level math classes. I mean, she's a wonderful teacher. I had a wonderful growing up, a wonderful family life, a good childhood. I mean, I was involved in everything. I played baseball and tennis and basketball and did the band thing. So my parents really put a lot into me of try everything, see what you like to do.
Well, I know research has told us that even when you were in Collins Middle School that you were second in the county one time with the conservation, what conservation means to me.
And, yeah.
And then you were in the Governor's Honor Academy.
Yes, sir.
11th grade. Yep. And I know you played high school tennis. I didn't know you played baseball.
Well, I didn't on the high school level. It was probably around that time I really got into the music side of things. And that's kind of the direction that my life spun. At the end of the day, I wanted to play football pretty bad. And, you know, I wanted to be that. I'm not a huge person, but I mean, I grew up with, you know, Barry Sanders being a running back, and he was 5'8", and I was like, I think I can be that. And my mom said, no, you can't. You're not playing football. So the only way that I could get to, that I knew that I could go to all the sporting events, was to be in the band. And you know, I had a passion for music and had a passion for band stuff through my dad, and my high school band director really instilled that into me too. So
what instruments do you play?
So I started playing piano when I was, I don't know, 7 years old or so. And that wasn't, it wasn't cool at the time. When I got into it, and I did, so I said, no. But then in middle school, I got into band, and I started on the clarinet because my dad had started on clarinet when he was in middle school, when he grew up in Ohio. And I stayed with that for a year, and this isn't for me. So I switched over to percussion and drums, and did drums and percussion. And I had a little bit of the piano background, so I could play the mallet things as well as drums. And then when I went to college, my major was music education with an emphasis in percussion. So I had to learn, I played any drum instrument, any type of drum, but then the mallet instruments, marimba, vibraphone, xylophone, timpani, just all of that. And then, through it all, you say, well, all right, I want to be a high school band director. And they say, okay, fine, you got to learn every instrument. So I had to take a semester and learn flute and learn the clarinet and learn the saxophone, and then take another semester and learn the trumpet and baritone and trombone and tuba, everything from violin and viola. I don't claim to know how to play all of them, but I can at least get somebody started on something.
Well, my wife's a trumpet player.
Okay.
Everybody in her family played in the high school band here at Woodrow, actually, and they all played horns, I think, but very, very talented group there. But now, when you went to Marshall, do they give scholarships for band?
They do.
Like they do sports?
They do. Every year that I was in the Marching Thunder, we got a stipend at the end of the year. It wasn't much. It was maybe $300 or something, but that was for every member to pay for you were at Saturday games, so they would. It was a small supplement, but they would pay you for it. But then within the music department, they gave out every kind of scholarship that you could, full rides and the works. I was in one of the first parts of the Promise Scholarship, so I got the Promise Scholarship. So I didn't accept any music department scholarships.
Who was the band director at Marshall when you were there?
It was Stephen Barnett. He had come from Ole Miss to Marshall and really built it was a big band under him. I think the first year I was there, right around 200. And then by the time that I left, we were up in the upper 300s, 360, 370, something like that.
Yeah. So. Now, after you graduated from Marshall, you were also, sometime along there, you participated in the Capital Regiment Drum and Bugle Corps. When was that?
While I was in school, 2005. That's a process of getting involved in all of that stuff. And I wasn't sure that I wanted to do it, and was kind of teetering back and forth. And I had missed all the auditions, and then out of nowhere, that one of their vibraphone players had quit. So I got the opportunity. They called and they said, "Would you like to play?" Sure.
What did they do? Did they travel around?
Yeah, so Drum and Bugle Corps, we were in the DCI level. There's different levels of Drum and Bugle Corps. DCI has different levels within it, but we were, they call it open class, which is the world class now. You get on a charter bus and you travel all over the country, and you play a marching band show. Some nights, if you're not playing a show, you're staying at a high school in the gym. You carry your sleeping bag with you and your uniform in the other hand, and pack up an 18-wheeler, a tractor trailer, and move to the next town.
How long did you do that?
About 2 months. So got to see a little bit of the country, got to play some music, and compete over a summer. It wasn't too bad. The program ended up folding. The Capital Regiment ended up not fielding. I think the next year was their last year, and I don't think they've completed a full season. So it was a good experience. Glad I got to experience it.
Now, when you graduated after taking all those classes, you became a band director. Where did you end up first? I mean, where did you go first?
So after I graduated Marshall, I graduated in the fall. Fall semester. So the spring semester, I had been working throughout college with different band programs in the Huntington area. And so I got hooked up with Wayne High School, and they didn't have it. Obviously didn't. I'd been working with their band director, just helping with drums and percussion and assisting however I could. So when I graduated, I got a job teaching math for a long-term sub for a semester. And then the following year, I got hired into the system as a special ed teacher. So I spent a year teaching special ed at Wayne High School. And then I guess it would have been my second full year, I got a job teaching at Crum Middle School, which is, if you're familiar with Wayne County, it's not out Wayne, it's way out Wayne.
Crum is... It was a guy named Lee Maynard wrote a book called Crum.
I am familiar.
He was actually from that area, but the people weren't too happy about the way he depicted them. I actually think the book was banned in West Virginia. I know they didn't sell it at Tamarack, and a lot of libraries right. wouldn't carry it. But I actually met Lee Maynard, and I've read all of his books, I think. And he actually didn't. I don't think he really meant to antagonize the people from Crum, but it kind of, that's the way they understood it. I have an idea where Crum is. Then you went back to Wayne High School, then, didn't you?
No. So the whole time that I was at Crum Middle School teaching in the day, in the evenings and like after school, I was the hired band assistant director. So I taught at Crum Middle School and in a roundabout way and at Wayne High School at the same time as the assistant director. So I was doing things on both sides. And while I was down at Crum, I was the assistant girls basketball coach at Wayne High School. This was before they were, winning 23 games a year. And we did well to finish 500. So I did that, and then in 2014, I accepted the position at Huntington High School. So I went from Crum Middle School, which is a school about 125, 130 kids, and ended up building that program. There were 13 kids in the band when I got there, and when I left, there were 74. So, you're talking about knowing Crum. Crum holds a special place in my heart. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny community that no one probably knows a whole lot about. But once those people accept you into their little family, I owe a lot to that community and that family for kind of molding me and my teaching and teaching me how to teach. Mm-hmm. So.
And when you went to Huntington, my buddy Bill Archer was down that direction, and I guess Rob was.
Yeah, Rob was the principal.
And so how long were you at Huntington?
Just 2 years, two full years. What an amazing experience that was. I got to work with some really, really good people there. I still look at some of the things that we did down there, or the way the school was shaped and the way the school worked. And it was another thing that had a profound impact on how I operate and how I do things. And, Rob Archer is just a class act what a guy. He would be somebody to strive to be. While I was there, I got to know their athletic director, Bruce Senior, very well. And, he looked at me one time and he said, "You're the only band director that has ever talked baseball with me." Cause he was a Yankees fan and I'm a Pirates fan. So, he was, had the best of the best and the worst of the worst, but, great experience at Huntington High. Nothing but respect for those folks down there.
Now, somewhere along the line, you went over in Europe sometime or another, didn't you?
So that's how I ended up actually getting the job at Huntington High.
Oh, really?
Got a friend that lives in Germany. She's a friend of the family. She's an elderly lady. But my dad was in a singing group in 94 and went over, and this lady took the group out to dinner, and they exchanged addresses and became pen pals. And then my family all flew over and met her. And so we had gone over a few times, but it was in the summer of 2014 that I was in Germany, and I was kind of caught in between, like, do I want to keep going in the teaching direction, or do I want to go do something else? And right before that, I had, I had started working out, doing a lot of, got really into bike riding, and I thought, well, maybe I needed a career change. Maybe this is just a time that I sat down in front of an Air Force recruiter, and he gave me the spiel of all of that. And I knew I was going to Europe, and I I've got a little time here to figure this stuff out. And when I was in Europe, I went to a little internet cafe and just happened to pop up jobs, and Huntington High came open. And, you know, as the praying man that I am, I put my name into it, and I said, God, you know, if this is where I'm supposed to be, I'll do this. If I don't get this Huntington job, I'll pursue the Air Force. That's, you know, whatever you want me to do, that's where I'm going. And they called me, and I did a phone interview. It was the day before I climbed the highest mountain in Germany. I'll never forget that. I did a phone interview, and they called me back, and they offered me the job. Next day, I said, all right, I'm going to climb this mountain. I just, you know, why not? So, it was an interesting way of getting the Huntington High School job.
During all your history with music, what kind of music did you listen to?
I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. I really am drawn toward blues and jazz. I think that's on an emotional level of music, it's like something that is you're improvising, so you're going off of what you're feeling at that moment. But I'm a 60s and 70s classic rock kind of guy too. I listen to everything from CCR to the other day I was doing some work at my wife's dance studio, and I had Simon and Garfunkel pumping through the through the place. So, not a huge fan of the 80s. I know there'll be some people that, the electronic stuff, it doesn't interest me. But
did you get to see the Simon and Garfunkel tribute?
I did.
That was great.
It was fantastic.
We loved it. We loved it. And these guys really did a great job. But so you came back. You worked at Huntington. Then this job opened up?
My life is...
Band director.
Some of the things that happen in my life, there are... It's one of those things that there's no doubt that there's somebody taking their hands and putting me where I need to be and moving things around. And when I look back on it, I look and go, God, you just did it all. And like there's absolutely nothing that I'm doing that... I can't make some of this stuff up. So I'm at Huntington High School. We come up here to a football game on October the 16th, 2016. And, we do the whole thing. Bill Bailey was still the director here. We do our halftime show and all of this. And I get on the bus and we're heading back to Huntington. And I get a text message from a friend of mine who I had known since high school who lives here, Laura, my now wife. At the time, we were not married. And she said, is this still your number? And I said, yeah, it is. And so we talked back and forth a little bit, and we reconnected. We had lost track because we went to Governor's Honors Academy together. I knew her in high school. It's actually her boyfriend at the time was my best friend in high school. And then when we went to Marshall together, he was my college roommate, and you know how relationships go. They break up. I've had girlfriends, so we break up. And anyway, neither one of us were in a relationship, and she just texted me and said, is this still you? I saw you at the game. I had not been back to a Woodrow game since I graduated high school, and I heard your name announced as the band director of Huntington High. And so, you know, we reconnected, and we found ourselves that I was coming up here to Beckley on the weekends and coming up here to meeting in Charleston and all that. And I thought, you know, this is crazy. Like, I'm driving up here to Beckley. I may as well come back to Beckley and find a job. So actually Shady Spring Elementary preschool music job came open. So I took that for a year before Woodrow Wilson's band came open. Wow. And
so you got married like 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that's a good story.
Man. Yeah, it's but that's what I'm saying. I can't. I know it's a lot, and it's a. But I can't tell that story without some. You know, God's hand is on all of that, and if you look back and you see it, you see like, when I was at the game, my wife was wearing a necklace that had a key on it that said the numbers on the key were 1016. And it was October 16th, 2016. So, like, I'm not into like the conspiracy theory, things like that, but I find it ironic. And like, then I look back and I go, well, God, you've had me right there, right when I needed to be. She was there right when she needed to be. And here we are.
Wow. And you became the band director here at Woodrow, and Mr. Bailey left the band in pretty good shape.
He did.
And then you guys, was it your first or second year you guys went to the Orange Bowl?
So my first year, Mr. Bailey left me some fantastic players. I got to brag on that group of kids. But that group of kids, they worked their tails off. We came in and we went to work. And we ended up winning the first grand champion at a band contest that Woodrow Wilson had won since 1988.
Wow.
And that group of kids, even to this day, like I keep up with, it was a smaller group, but they are a fantastic group of kids that they're like family to me now. That group of kids, we were very tightly knit. And that was one that it was an inspiration to see kids work that hard
The seniors would have been what class? 2017, 18.
Yep, 2018. Okay. So seniors of 2018, yeah. And then that freshman class I had all the way through, and we built something beautiful that was, last year we won another grand champion. We finished second place in the state. In our division. So those kids that group, my first year here, really set the precedent and set the tone for just the work ethic and what they wanted out of the program. And it was inspiring to see how they built that program. It wasn't like I give them a lot of the credit for doing that, for instilling that into the young people. And then the next year, those people instilled it into the people coming up through. So it was a beautiful thing looking at it.
So the athletic director's job opened up, and yep, you had some history with sports.
Yep.
But why did you want to change? I mean, you had some great history with band.
I did. And we were just coming off of, a really successful season. Rocky Powell came to me and he said, "Hey, have you ever thought about this? I think you'd be good at it." I said, "Oh yeah, I thought about it the first time that Tim Carrico retired." And, I said, "But, I'm the band guy, man. I do band. That's what I do." And Mr. Powell said, I think you'd be good at it. Would you consider it?" "Yeah, I'll consider it." And knowing that, in education, there are not a ton of ways to move up in the system other than, getting a different degree or getting more degrees or whatever it might be. And, at the end of the day, when I looked back on it too, I went to Marshall in 2003. In 2004, I taught my first band camp. Fall of 2004, I was not working full time, but I was a percussion instructor all of football season for local bands. And then in the summer, I was teaching band camps for 3, 4, 5 different bands. And then I would have one band that I would teach the full season, football season, with the marching band. So I had been doing that since 2004. So when I look back on it, since 2022 to 2004, 18 years, I've been doing a lot of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Of teaching music, teaching band, teaching all of my summers tied up with band camps. Even when I was high school director, my own camps. I'm not ever going to do anything halfway. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it the right way. And we're going to, the goal is to be as perfect as we can be, knowing we're never going to achieve it, but we want to get right up to that point of perfection. So there's a lot of time commitment to that. And I think knowing that I come from that world of time commitment, this world isn't that much different as far as time goes, but it was something different. It was a change, just a change of scenery. But then I also, I knew the plights of band programs. I knew some of the issues that music programs had, that band programs might have, and how can I speak a little bit of life into that in a position that I can. In a lot of ways, the band world is a not very understood world. Mm-hmm. It's a niche thing that not everybody can do it. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can play an instrument at that high of a level. Or your wife knows that there's a commitment to it. You commit to it. Unless you've done it, you don't understand it. People go to basketball games and they can understand the game of basketball by watching the game of basketball. But to understand the music and to understand, you can have an appreciation for it and an affinity for it and love music and appreciate everything there is to do about it. But unless you've done it, you don't know that how hard it is to get to the point of right up to perfection. You don't get a timeout in a concert. My reed broke. I don't get to stop the game and go get a new reed. With that mindset, this athletic director position, it's not just me thinking about basketball and football and golf and all the athletic stuff. When I decided to take the job, it was me too sitting thinking about how can I service this group of kids in a way that they've never been serviced before. So that was that kind of went through my head. And again, as a praying person, God leads you in the directions that you go. And if you trust in what He's telling you to do, you can't go wrong.
Well, you've got 20, 21 sports?
Got a bunch.
And
I got a bunch.
Right when you took the job over, they started. It was almost football. Well, it was football season. They decided they were going to put lights in, new lights at the time. Then they condemned the bleachers on the home side, which was a problem. You had the new band director left, which I'm sure a lot of it fell back on you.
Yeah.
And so you had some issues that aren't normal everyday issues
the
bat. And so if you've survived that, you probably can survive anything. But what's a typical day? I know there's not a typical day, but what is a typical day for an athletic director at a large high school?
The first thing you do when you get here is you put on your fire extinguisher. And you just walk around with it all day long. It's a lot of problem solving. You made mention with all of the sports and activities that we do, there's a lot of problem solving that you're doing. You're helping a coach problem solve something that's going on with a team or with a parent. You're trying to, obviously, the coach needs to take care of that stuff, but you're trying to coach them into how to do things. You're bouncing questions. People are bouncing questions off of you. And, you're responsible for knowing that rule book and the policies that we're all held to. So that's always kind of in the back of your mind. I've got this notebook. This is kind of my lifeline. This is my checklist of every day. I make a checklist of something to do. So, I scheduled meet the Eagles, scheduling events. I'm in charge of all of the bus requests that run through the school. So even if it's a math field day thing or a science field trip, that runs through my office.
Now, you do most of that on computer now,
yes, sir.
Don't you?
Yeah.
When I was an athletic director, we had to fill out forms, and
right.
And take them to the bus garage.
Right.
And it was, but still, I know it's a huge job. And you have to check each individual's eligibility, guess.
There's that goes along with knowing the rule book. You've got to check eligibility, and constantly checking on that. I think it's an important thing to help those coaches, because a lot of coaches their focus is on their sport, and that they're just as busy as everybody else. But we like to keep track of kids and keep track of how they're doing, and we want to support those kids if we can. So we're constantly checking eligibility. We're constantly checking grades. We're constantly checking in on kids and making sure is everything okay? How's things going? And simultaneously doing that with the coach, and simultaneously doing that with the program. What's the state of your program right now? Is everything okay? I wear a lot of hats, and I'm sure you know that. You wear, as an athletic director, you wear a lot of hats, and you got to put your baseball cap on and but then also put your field trip request hat on. So,
well, you, when you took over the job, you had some veteran coaches, some guys that have been here a while. Did they accept you okay, or did they kind of look at you like, who is this guy?
No, you know, I work with some amazing people. You know, all of our coaches have welcomed me. That's not to say that we haven't, that I haven't had a disagreement with anybody. But everything is done with respect, and I've had no issues with coaches individually. They've welcomed me with open arms.
Great.
I think that, or I would like to think that, you know, seeing what I did and the work ethic that I put into the band program, has helped me, gain some trust, has helped me, you know, gain people's respect in doing this, because at the end of the day, we're all people who are loving kids, who are here to help kids, who are here to build kids up, and to support everything that those kids want to do. And that's a common mission that we all have, no matter if you're a volleyball coach, a golf coach, band director, a principal, a teacher. And that's kind of the mindset that we all have. And it's nice to work with people that have that attitude.
Now, everybody wants to look good. Everybody wants to have first-class facilities and equipment. It takes money.
It does.
And I know one of the responsibilities, or at least concerns, the athletic director, you can't let a coach go out and spend more than they're bringing in.
Yep.
Consistently. How do you raise money besides selling donuts?
Well, yeah. So that's a bulk of what I do. Actually, right before we met, I was down counting money boxes from last night's softball game. You know, the coaches and the programs, they do a lot of fundraising to support their programs. We do a lot with the tickets, where our ticket money is used for to help each individual program. I understand that golf is not going to make near as much money as football. It's just the nature of it. Or baseball is not going to make as much as basketball. It's just the nature of the sports. So we try to support each other in those ways. And, you know, we make determinations on financial decisions with myself and Mr. Stafford and our financial secretary, Darlene McNeil. She's wonderful. The coaches do a really good job of fundraising themselves, but we're trying to come up with some creative ways to fundraise ourselves. An idea that we've thrown around that we would like to try to get started is a Woodrow Wilson Beckley golf scramble, where we would charge money for a team to enter into it, and all of that money would go into the athletic department to help support teams that might not have the financial backing that others do.
Yeah. A sport like golf is not going to have any type of fan base as far as paying or anything like that. But where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
That's a loaded question. You know, I love what I'm doing. My wife is here in town at, you know, operating Rhythms of Grace. She's got 400 dance students. So I'm not going anywhere. So I will be here. I don't know what that entails. I have no plans of leaving doing what I'm doing. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. There are days that are hard. There are days that are stressful. There are days that I go home at 7 o'clock and go, what did I get done today? And I really don't know. But I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm enjoying going to the baseball park and watching baseball. At the end of the day, I can't believe that I'm getting paid to go watch a basketball game or to go watch a football game. Now, the work to get it lead up to that point is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But I get paid to watch sports. That's not a bad gig.
As long as everything goes okay.
As long as everything goes okay and the lights don't go out in the fourth quarter against Bluefield.
Yeah. How about besides professional? Well, do you have an administrative degree, or you think about doing that?
I think I talked with someone. I think I'm going to go and do it. It's online now. What's one more thing added to the plate? So I think I'm going to go and get that. It leaves some options open, but I don't have any aspirations to. I like what I'm doing.
How about personally? Let's not talk professionally. Personally, what's on your bucket list? What would you like to do? Go back to Europe and climb the Alps?
We're doing that this summer.
Are you really?
Yeah, but no. I'd like to get my pilot's license. Wow. That's always been an interest of mine. My grandfather had a private plane, his private license. And I'd like to do that. My wife asked me, well, if you had to get your master's in administration or your pilot's license, which are you doing? I said, pilot's license, no questions asked. I mean, it's a dumb question, but not really. Growing up with my grandfather, that was something that was very special that we had with him flying. And he taught me a lot about the airplane and taught me how to do a lot of the things I never took off or landed, but once we'd get up in the air, he'd say, okay, go find Morgantown or go find this place. He lives in a small town in Pennsylvania, right out just across the border. So we'd go fly over to Morgantown and he'd show me how to do it and get there. So it's always been something that I've wanted to do. And, he's taken me for, I can't tell you how many rides in an airplane, and I'd like to return the favor to him sometime.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you talking to us and like to come back sometime.
Anytime.
It's been very enjoyable. Learned a lot. And anybody else out there that'd like to be on our program, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And remember, until then, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. Till then, God bless you.